From SLB Radio in Pittsburgh, Youth Express, the nation's first 24/7 radio station devoted to youth writing, music, and conversation.
I don't know why some people look down on people who either give up on college or never go in the first place.
There are people that just hate you because of your race or ethnicity, but we are definitely making progress based on.
She's hungry for everything, the life within, trying to find her way around again. Looking and searching is what she's doing.
So I followed my brother down to the riverbank, and we donned our skates. While Lev hurried, I tarried. While Lev trudged through the slush, I caught a flake on my tongue.
My parents are from Bhutan. They migrated to Nepal, and I born there, and I moved here in the US. So it's a long journey to get here.
Today, original music and a feature on the Academic Games Leagues of America. But first, a documentary from three high school students about nutrition education for children. This feature was created by students serving as youth philanthropy interns at the Heinz Endowments. More information on the youth philanthropy program is available at heinz.org.
I like eating rice and beans and tomatoes.
I eat apple and grapes.
Biscotti and cabbage and kielbasa.
Pizza.
I like pizza.
Pizza.
Mac and cheese and mashed potatoes.
Eating. We all do it. How do we do it right? How do we teach our kids to do it right? Let's talk about that. This is Delaney Morrow.
Natalie Wida.
And Delasia Dennis.
It's a challenge for parents today to raise their children as healthy, conscious eaters in a country with rising health problems like diabetes and obesity.
They should keep in mind that the most efficient nutrition practices involve incorporating a variety of foods, involving children in growing and preparing food, and using curiosity to drive forward healthy behaviors.
Despite longstanding criteria requiring public schools to teach children about nutrition and healthy living, many adults don't remember having any nutrition education in school.
I remember when I was in school, we didn't learn really anything about nutrition.
Registered dietitian Haley Goodrich ironically confirmed this lack of education in her own life.
I don't think I had any nutrition education growing up at all.
Children today receive nutrition education in school. Kids give a firsthand account of their experience.
We had a section in human biology about nutrition.
Well, we just mostly learn about food and home ec.
While nutrition education is incorporated into schools today, there is a growing group of people who feel that the best way to learn about nutrition is through hands-on learning. Jim Rowell at Grow Pittsburgh describes how educating children holistically about food helps increase a sense of community in his work.
It's a lot easier, for me at least, to learn things in their wholeness. And with food, that means preparing it and eating it with the people in your community and celebrating that community you have together around food.
Many parents agree that education about health and nutrition must go beyond just teaching about the food pyramid and calorie guidelines.
The biggest thing they learn is calories. So my daughter came home freaking out about how many calories she was eating. Then she became on an obsession. I can't eat this. I can't eat this.
Haley Goodrich explains how the current nutrition and weight-focused practices in school may actually be harmful rather than beneficial.
I get a little concerned when I start to see things like calorie values in schools on the menu, saying like, oh, here's this meal and here's the calorie value. And instantly that says to the kid, should I be focusing on calories? And it opens up this whole world for them of, hey, should I be like trying to control this? It's very unnecessary and can actually cause a lot of problems.
For parents, raising children as conscious eaters with a wide variety of foods is a more effective way of helping children become self-sufficient. Again, Haley Goodrich.
Children at that age, they're so impressionable. And so when we do something like put them on the scale and talk about their weight and allow them to compare themselves to others, it really gets away from the core foundation of what nutrition really is. If we're raising competent eaters who have eating skills, know how to prepare food, and that's been ingrained and enforced in them from a young age, you have a better chance of them getting out of school and being able to do that when they go to college and set that example for the next generation.
Unfortunately, access to fresh foods is not always possible.
Mom says we don't have the right food to pack a lunch, and it's more easier to go to school and get a lunch.
Furthermore, the assumption that one person may make about what a healthy diet consists of is not necessarily the same for everyone, especially when challenges of access arise.
To reduce it just to a simple decision about nutrition is not always fair when these other factors of maybe pricing or access to food influence food choices for a lot of families. and also when advertising has such a stronghold on young people, but also on us as adults.
Sadly, in the culture that we live in, when people start talking about health, it's no fast food now. And what that says to people who might have less resources is you can't be healthy. You can't afford to appropriately feed yourself. At the end of the day, a hamburger with a bun, which is a carb, and a patty, which is a protein, and the fat that's involved in the meat, maybe lettuce and tomato, that actually hits all the food groups for a couple dollars. That actually is giving them a great amount of nourishment. And a healthy plate can look a million different ways.
Jim Rowell emphasizes the importance of health and wellness for everyone.
Our own health and wellness, so much of what we have is people. If you take care of yourself and you eat healthy, you'll be happier.
Next, Winchester Thurston students Nathan Elgee and Nathan Schatzman with an original song.
Your picture every time I close my eyes. It makes me happy just remembering those good times. But with you gone now, there's a deep dark hole inside. Even happy memories don't fully satisfy. And now you're gone, and I'm all alone. And I know I need you now, I know I make you proud today. From the distant wilderness to those late weekend nights, whenever either was in trouble, we'd both stand and fight. Laughing, talking, being with you, everything felt right. It seemed like a partnership that would last all our lives. And now you're gone, and I'm all alone. And I know I need you now, I know I make you proud today. Thinking of you standing there, and I must close my eyes. Before I open them, I need to say goodbye. No matter what the problem, time will move on. If I choose to hang on too tight, it will slow my life. It's time for me to fill that deep dark hole inside. Build on all those memories with some brand new good time. And now you're gone, but I'm not alone. And I need to let it go, I need to free myself today.
Our final segment features Christian Ferraro talking about Montour High School's involvement in Academic Games Leagues of America.
How long was the shortest war ever fought? How many bricks are in the Great Wall of China? Which president has the largest comic book collection? For 50 years now, children in schools across America have been duking it out in gymnasiums and athletic centers over questions like these, all for a chance to play at nationals, and the ever-so-sought-after Thinker statue. Of course, I'm talking about Academic Games. In a school dominated by its football and soccer teams, these group of students' pursuits are different, but far from trivial.
It's an extracurricular club here at Montour where we play six different games over the span of the school year. And the topics covered include math, linguistics, propaganda techniques, and trivia on current events and presidents and on other themes such as the Civil War.
That was Senior President of Academic Games, Eric McAdangdang. For 4 years, he and other members have been competing at local schools to win a free ticket to the Nerd Super Bowl that they call Nationals.
Nationals is kind of the culmination of Academic Games, where all the qualifiers from regionals play again at a location somewhere probably on the East Coast. It happens at the end of the six games regionally.
On their way back from the presidential trivia tournament at Seneca Valley High School on October 26th, students were unsure of whether or not their scores would be enough to get them to Nationals.
It went well. I asked around about the scores about everybody in our school, and I've been hearing pretty high numbers.
But later, we got the results when we talked to Montour's coach and sponsor of the Academic Games team, Mr. Michael Phillips.
Yes, in the last tournament, we actually did very, very well. After getting the
qualification scores. We had about 5 students qualify for the national tournament, so I was very impressed by that.
Mr. Phillips, a Montour alumni, has been passionate about both playing and teaching the game since he was a competitor himself, and doing his part in recruiting and grooming future Academic Games champions.
The sponsor of Academic Games, Mr. Phillips, was my history teacher during freshman year, and he kind of talked to me about it, so I went to a couple practices and got really involved in a lot of the games.
What makes kids want to join Academic Games?
I think it's more of a networking thing where you can meet people from other schools and have competition that's just not inside of your school, but also it's the ability to do something a little bit different. It's not just sports focused. It's a variety of students. All of them have different interests and abilities, and it's a great diverse crowd, which I really like.
Whatever the reason students join, the foundation of Montour seems to be built for continued success on a national level. Oh, and if you're wondering, the Anglo-Zanzibar War lasted 40 minutes. There are 3.873 billion bricks in the Great Wall of China, and Barack Obama has the largest collection of comic books of any president. For more information on how to join, you can visit agloa.org. This has been Christian Ferraro, the King of Clubs.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of Youth Express. Youth Express is made possible with support from the Henry L. Hillman Foundation, the Pittsburgh Penguins Foundation, and the 33 Foundation, and was produced by SLB Radio Productions. Learn more at youthexpress.org. Youth Express. Catch the future.